This morning, that was incredible worship this morning. You know, there's nothing more beautiful than the name of Jesus. It's the only reason we're here this morning. Again, I know I see some new faces. My name is Preston Boyd. I've got a lot of family that go to church here, and even if they're not family, they're extended family. So I've been raised in this community, lived over there in Hogjaw Loop for most of my life. So I'm always appreciative of the opportunity to come back. I got the pleasure to sit under Stetton at one point in time, and it was a very crucial time, I think, in my development as a Christian. And I think that you've got you're very blessed when you get to hear Stetton speak, because I just feel like God uses him in different ways than what I've ever heard him use anybody else, just to be completely honest. So I hope that you don't take that for granted, every opportunity that you get to hear him speak, because I do think God speaks directly through him and opens your eyes to different things. And I come from a background, I've been a teacher and a coach for 10 years. Again, I'm currently the varsity boys basketball coach at Vinemont High School. And this is going to be my eighth year in Coleman County. Four of my years were at West Point. Now I'm in year four at Vinemont. Again, I graduated from Addison. And so I've kind of spent most of my educational career around here, but I've always grown up loving ball. And, you know, a ball, it doesn't really matter what kind. Basketball was my passion. It's really a lot of things you try and teach athletes today is about mindset. And I think that that's something that God has really been speaking to me about for close to a month, maybe a little bit actually over a month now, about your mindset and where you're at. And obviously everything can always connect to your walk with Christ. And I'm going to connect a few things this morning with your mindset. And because a lot of times, I mean, it's very easy when we get together before church to talk about all the bad stuff going on. I think that's kind of like a natural thing that takes place. Like, can you believe this took place? Can you believe this happened? Do you see this? Do you see that? And we start kind of tending off to get maybe service off to a little bit more of a negative start, I guess, in a way, kind of like get our minds in a negative place, because we start focusing on everything that's going on around us. And that's just kind of a natural thing. That's not something that I think that, again, I'm not calling anybody out. I think it's just a natural thing that we see all this crazy stuff happening, and so we got to talk about it a little bit, and we kind of get it out there, and we start talking about it. And but we can't lose sight of the fact that, again, we are different, we are separated, we are Christians, and we live in a world that's dying, and that is it's not going to end well for people that don't follow Christ. But for those that do follow Christ, we need to be a light in this world. That's a commandment that God gave us. But I want to talk about mindset, because mindset, again, is so important. Again, Stetton's just going through a surgery. I think I've spoken to y'all since I had my valve replacement surgery. And there's times like you're just laying there, and it doesn't feel very good. Things don't go very good in your mind, and you're wondering, like, when am I going to come out on the other side of this? And, you know, you can kind of get down a little bit. And I think that that's just something that again, becomes natural. We question things. We want to know why things are certain ways, why you're going through certain things. Again, when I was given the news of having valve replacement, I saw somebody asking for prayer on Facebook for like their great grandfather the same day. I'm thinking, I'm 32 years old, about to have it, and here's this guy in their 70s or 80s about to have it. So a little bit different stage of life, you know, when we're looking at those things. And sometimes you ask God why. And I don't think that you're necessarily honest. I honestly don't believe you're wrong in questioning God at times. Because I think, that's a natural thing for you to do. Sometimes we do get angry at God. I'm not saying that you're righteous in doing that, but I think that that's just a natural reaction to things that take place. So I want to look at the psalmist in Psalm 10 in verse 1, okay, and I want to talk a little bit again about mindset. So I'm going to kind of start off with like the negative side of things, and then I want to build to kind of have a well-rounded idea of how things work and how things go on. So the psalmist writes this. He says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble?" So we get to this point of we're kind of, again, upset at God. We're aggravated at God because we see, and again, if you go through and you read that psalm, he's like, all these wicked people that do all these wicked things, they're fine. They're okay. They don't feel like your judgment applies to them. Everything's going good for them. They're blessed. And I think we all get to that point at some time in our life to where we look around and you're thinking, again, maybe we get an idea of self-righteousness, but we start thinking like, well, I'm living for you. Stuff is not going very good for me. Why is so much stuff? Because maybe you do know something going on in somebody's life. Well, why is everything working out for them at this stage of their life? They're not following you. They're not trusting you. They're not talking to you. They're not reading your word. They're not obeying your commandments, but yet they're fine. Sickness does that a lot of times. With families, people start questioning those types of things, and people, you get upset at God. So why me? Why me? You look at prophets throughout the Old Testament. Why me? Why are you punishing me? I've done everything you've asked me to do. Why are you coming after me? And again, I think if we'll get honest with ourselves this morning, a lot of us come from where the psalmist does in verse 1, where we'll get negative toward God. Because, again, I think that, honestly, that's our natural state. Just because I see it so much. Again, the more you live life, the more you talk to people, the more you understand, people are naturally pessimistic. They're not optimists. They're going to be very pessimistic in the way that they try to go about things. And you have to understand that all that is a trap. All that is a distraction. All that is trying to get you further and further and further away from God. And it works with a lot of people. You just throw a wrench in something. Stuff is going good, especially, again, newborn Christians. You can just, something's going good. You know, I just got saved, just got baptized, everything's going good, and then something bad is going to happen. How are they going to react to it? I've seen things in my life when I was a young Christian, essentially like we'll just call it a church breakup, a church split. And I saw marriages fall apart. I saw my mentor who taught me how to pray, taught me how to read the word, invested so much time in me, fall away from God for a time period. I watched all these adults that I'd looked up to decide that they're no longer going to follow God, because what they did is they built their trust in God in an individual's relationship rather than building their own. And you have to build your own relationship with God. And that's something, again, that I understood last year, I think, more than anything. When you're a coach, you want to have influence over your kids, because you think that, again, at the end of the day, like, you're as a coach, and coaching 2022, man, it's a different breed than what it was. Because, again, as a coach, like, for parents' sake, if your kid don't get to play, you don't really like the coach. Okay, it don't really matter what the coach does. If you don't play the kid, people don't like the coach. Coach don't know what he's talking. Don't matter if you're winning. Doesn't matter if you're losing. Doesn't matter. Okay, how much did my kid get to play? There's a really good coach that coached up at Division II UAH for many, many years. He's Division I coach now. But he said, when we start the game, I've got five parents that love me to death, think that I'm a genius, and I've got seven others that think I'm the dumbest coach that's ever walked the face of the earth, because five of his kids start, and then, again, the other ones are sitting on the bench. So, I mean, that's kind of the way, you know, things are approached now with things. But making this investment and trying to get the idea of having influence – over a kid in a positive way, and influencing people in a positive way, and getting a shift away from the negativity is getting harder and harder and harder to do. So the influence is going to come one way or the other, but just trying to get people on the same page and trusting God, again, just as a pastor, just as a Christian, just as in your family, sometimes can be a difficult thing, because, again, we're always fighting against this solemnness mindset in verse 1. God, why? Why me? All right, so let's look at Psalm 9, verse 1 and 2. Again, just a shift in mindset here. Again, this is a Psalm of David, but again, could be going through the same exact thing. We all know walking through this life, stuff's not perfect. Stuff's not going to go every way that we want it to. But there's, again, a shift in mindset here in Psalm 9. It says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of you, or tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Again, it does not matter the situation and what he's going through. Again, the title of the prayer talks about a prayer of thanksgiving for his righteous judgments. He may be going through a difficult time, because, again, we all are going to go through difficult times. But there's also times it feels like we're on the mountaintop. And everything's just going great. But we can't switch back and forth between when things are going good, I'm going to praise you. When things are going to go bad, I'm just going to question you. It's got to be, our mindset's always got to be from Psalm 9:1 of I'm going to praise you with my whole heart. Doesn't matter what I'm dealing with, doesn't matter what I'm going through in my life, I will tell of your marvelous works. Because if we go based off how we feel, if we go based off of circumstance, your Christianity is not going to mean what it should mean. You're not going to walk through this earth and be salt. You're not going to walk through this earth and be light. All you're going to be is just another sound, you know, just clinging symbol. That's all you're going to be. You're never going to be somebody that somebody can go to and actually trust and have a conversation with about Christ. I don't want to go talk to a Christian that when everything's going good, he's feeling good, and when everything's going bad, he's feeling bad. That's the way the world is. That's the way the world works. And when stuff's going good, I'm good. When stuff's going bad, I'm bad. I want to talk to somebody that's rooted in the Word of God, that's going to be able to give me some advice when I need it, and it's going to be true advice, and it's going to be rooted in something that matters. Again, I think that when you read about Paul in the New Testament, all the things that came his way, he never lost praise through everything that he dealt with. And I think that, again, at the end of the day, our heart better be Psalm 9:1. If your heart's not Psalm 9:1, then this morning I'm asking you to look at it, and you need to have a heart change. We all have to be willing, no matter the circumstance. And sometimes I think that, like, it has to be. Sometimes we're put in circumstances for the purpose of just showing people that God's real. And it doesn't matter. It does not matter what's going on in my life. God deserves praise. Amen. There's no other reason that people go through things. You know, I mean, like, it can't be for no purpose. It can't be for nothing. It's got to be for something. Yeah. And when you go through something, again, to be able to show that you can follow Christ through everything, I think, again, just shows the world who Christ is. Now, I want to look at Psalm 1. So let's go look at Psalm 1. So, again, we looked at the negative in Psalm 10. The question in God, why me? Why is everybody else blessed when they're not doing the right thing? And then we looked at someone that's saying, I will praise you with my whole heart. I will show my work, or I'll show your works off to everybody that I come in contact with. So I feel like we got both ends of the spectrum in a way right there. Okay. So that's kind of my goal to set this up in Psalm 1. Because I feel like in Psalm 1, you're looking at a mature Christian. I feel like you're looking at somebody that understands circumstances. I feel like you're looking at someone that has been through something and has come on the other side and understands that it does not matter what's happening in front of you. Christ is there. And again, I know this is Old Testament, but I still feel like we can apply that to our New Testament walk here. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Again, one thing I want you to know is everybody's got an opinion. Okay, I figure you probably found that out looking on social media. And I've talked about this message before. I don't come from the background of thinking everybody deserves an opinion. I don't think so. I think if you're not invested in something, I really don't think that you should have an opinion on a topic. Again, everybody always asks, what's your opinion? Like, again, truly, at the end of the day, I may not have an opinion on your particular situation. Again, because that's your situation. Again, if it's something that goes along biblically or something like that. But again, everybody just feels like so willing to just say how they feel about a particular topic. And again, if I'm not invested, then I don't really, again, I'm kind of like, I'll leave it alone. But a lot of people are not like that. And again, you may feel differently than me, but that's just the way I feel. But what I'm trying to get at is everybody is willing to offer you advice. And you better be extremely careful with where you take your advice from. Because if it's going to be, again, I don't think that every ungodly person gives bad advice. I think that there can be ungodly people that give, quote unquote, good advice. But at the end of the day, it's not going to be rooted in anything that's going to ever stick around. It's going to be very temporary. You need to find a source that's going to be a sustainable source. And the only sustainable source is going to be through Christ. So if you take advice from somebody that's not walking a godly life, again, that's not going to be something that's going to sustain you forever. Because sometimes the advice is going to be selfish. You do you. You know, you walk out your own self. And I don't ever see that in here. So we better be walking out the way Jesus told us to walk it out. Because there's some times, again, people are going to get under your skin. People are going to, again, not that you got to walk around like everybody, but some people are going to tell you, forget them. Don't matter anymore. Don't worry about those people. Where Christ has you pray for them. You've got to be careful, again, who you're going to take your advice from. But blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. If your counsel is from an ungodly source, you're not going to be blessed. You're going to walk around and you're going to end up, at the end of the day, I think you'll end up miserable. Amen. Because what you're getting is contradictory to the spirit that lives inside of you. And those two are not going to be able to agree and be able to sit together. And until you get on the same page with the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be where you're supposed to be. Amen. In verse 2, it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Tell you a little story, okay? So, again, in coaching, you get to meet a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds. And this last summer, actually, I had one of my former players come and put on a camp for us. And he talked about how he was glad that the game of basketball brought us together and our paths crossed. And the games can do that. Sports can do that. Can bring people from all different backgrounds together and kind of for like one common purpose. And that's what I love about sports so much. But there's a coach that I coach that I've coached against several different times in our county. And we were at a basketball game together. He was there. I was there scouting a game, and we sit down and we talk about basketball for about three quarters of a half. We talk about basketball, and then he's about to get up and leave. And I said, "Coach, listen. I said things are not going the way that we want them to. I said, how did you get through it? Because a few years ago, I knew that he went through a really tough time. I said, how'd you do it? He said, let me tell you something. He said, go buy the book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Norman Vincent Peale wrote it back in the 50s. And he said, it has nothing to do about basketball at all. He said, just go buy it. He said, read it. He said, I think that'll help. Because, again, natural, when things are not going well, again, mind tends to turn negative. Even though, and I told my principal this last year, I said, there are times that I didn't mean to be negative. I said, but I think I was negative. I said, I tried to, again, I'm tough on him. My dad was tough on me when he raised me because I felt like he held me accountable. Accountability is tough, okay? My mom was the same way, but again, accountability is tough. So I was, sometimes when you coach kids tough, maybe it can come out a little bit negative, at times. And so I was thinking, you know what? I went out and I bought this book, but me and him were sitting down talking about it. And when I buy it, I had no idea it come from a Christian perspective. I had no idea. He didn't even mention that. He just said, it's really good advice. He said, just go buy the book. And I start reading it. It's from an old, and again, Norman Vincent Peale was a pastor. And he talks about all these different things that he encountered over time and all these different situations that he encountered over time and how to approach it with a positive mindset. And when the psalmist writes there in his law, he meditates day and night. I think it's so important to meditate on the Word of God. Amen. And that book, all it does always is point you back to the Word. It never is some kind of like magical piece of advice that a sage said or some old wise man said. It always points you back to biblical truth. And that's why I think you go back to verse 1 again. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The ungodly are going to tell you that you need to do things that fit your mold that help you, where the Bible is always going to point that you need to help others. You need to give your life away. And when we become very self-absorbed, then we stop focusing on the God. We stop focusing on allowing the Holy Spirit to allow us to, talk to us and do the things He asks us to do. And we start focusing on things that we want to do. And we become very selfish and very hardened, I think. But through reading that book, I text Coach and I said, I bought this book. I said, I appreciate it so much. I said, I think honest to goodness, I said, that's a really and truly, I felt like we had a life-changing conversation for me. I'm always looking to learn. I'm always trying to figure out, my mama, she's not here today, but mama's 90 years old, and every time I sit down and talk to her, I try to learn something every single time. It's just like it just opens up your eyes. When you can sit down and talk to somebody, like you may not realize it or not, but every time I have a conversation with you, I'm trying to learn something from you every single time. Again, sometimes it may be how to not act. You may learn that from me too. Okay, you ever come and watch me coach on the sideline, you may be like, I don't know about that guy. But you sit there and I always try to learn. because I think it's important. What can I learn from you? What can I take from you? Sometimes it's a demeanor about a situation. Sometimes it's just, you know, some people are just blessings. Some people are like, you know, sunshine or something, you know, that just they bless you with the way that their countenance is. And I can't fabricate that, but at the same time, maybe I can be like, you know what? Maybe I can be a little bit brighter at the end of the day. But Coach's wife passed away a few years ago. And, again, I don't know if any of you know Coach Willoughby over at Cold Springs, but Coach Willoughby is a very well-known figure in that community for sure. But his wife passed away. And when I texted him and I told him that that I had bought the book and that I was reading the book, he said, after our conversation the other night, he said, I'm going back and I'm reading the book for the first time since my wife passed. And you never know how sports connects you. You never know how a small conversation can connect you. And again, I felt so blessed just the fact that we had that conversation, and to know that, again, it can be an edifying conversation, I feel like, not only for me, but hopefully for him, maybe in a way therapeutic. And we talked about it the other day. We played him the other day. And after the game, he said he bought the book when his wife was sick. And now a couple years have passed, or, you know, since she has passed on, and he's reading the book again. You never know. I feel like, again, like I said, I didn't sit down thinking that conversation for me would be a life-changing conversation, but you never know. But because he took the time, I didn't see him until he started walking over there, because he took the time to come over and sit down with the young coach and just have a conversation, I feel like he changed my life. And again, God may be asking you in certain situations, just go have a conversation with somebody, and you have no idea how much you're going to impact somebody. In verse 3, it says this. He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And again, I think that there's different times in the Bible I would highlight. I'd probably highlight that. Again, if you follow God, you're going to prosper. Again, if you follow God, God's got your back. Again, that does not mean that everything — I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. I'm not saying you go sow 10 bucks, you're about to reap 100 here in the next few minutes. But I'm saying you invest in people, you invest the way God wants you to invest, you'll prosper. It doesn't have to be a monetary thing. It's a godly thing. It's something that, again, a legacy thing, to where you're going to leave behind when people think back on you. Again, you know, my pawpaw's buried out here. He passed away back in 06. My papa was like my best friend. I cherish every second that I can think back on memories with that man. Everything. The times that we got in the truck and went looking at cows. You know, I mean, just stuff like that. It's just such a blessing to know that he left behind a legacy. And, I mean, there's times I think back, would he be proud? You know, I mean, it's at the end of the day, you have people like that in your life. And it's for that for a reason. It's because, again, their connection with God, and the fact that at the end of the day, you hope that you leave behind a legacy as well, and that you leave behind a legacy that people can be proud of, and you leave behind a legacy that at the end of the day, people said he followed Christ or she followed Christ. Because, again, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we didn't do that one thing, then nothing else matters, unfortunately. But at the same time, for those of us that follow and trust God, you know that you're leaving behind a legacy that's unmatched. In verse 4, it says this. It says, the ungodly are not so. Again, we are different. We are different than the people that do not follow God. You have to believe that. You have to understand that. The way God looks at us is because of his son. You are blood-bought, blood-covered. People are not blood-bought, blood-covered, are not looked like that by God. They're sinners. And at some point, they're going to be separated from God. But because of Jesus, we don't have to face that. But are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Again, you find that truth throughout the Bible. Again, if you do not have Jesus, you do not end up in heaven. You do not end up in glory. You do not end up being with him for eternity. In verse 6, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And what I started off with, talk to you about mindset. You had the guy that was negative, or at least started off negative. Again, you can go read Psalm 10. It's not like everything's necessarily negative, but I'm just trying to get you in the mindset here. And the psalmist in verse 9, very, very focused. It's a positive mindset. It should be our mindset. At the end of the day, that should be our mindset. And in Psalm 1, you find the balance. I feel like you find the maturity of when you follow godly advice and you seek godly counsel, you're going to be fine. But understand this, when you follow the ungodly, your ultimate destination is ultimately, it's going to be hell. But again, your ultimate destination is not going to be what you want it to be. So I feel like there's a balance there in the mindset of understanding and being mature and walking in Christianity and walking with God. I feel like he gives you this psalm, the psalmist here gives you a full rounded picture of what life can be like on this earth. Let's look at Philippians 4. In Philippians 4, I'm going to read a few different verses out of here. 4, 6, 7, and then we'll skip down to the one everybody knows with 4, 13. But 4, 4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Again, that's your separating factor. That's your separating factor in this world. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Again, there are certain people in my life. Again, I think Aunt Betty's one of them. Uncle Bobby's one of them. Again, we have different people in our lives that they're examples to us. They're examples to our family. And they show you, again, because I know we being family, both of you have had difficulties and things that you've went through, but they still praise God no matter what. I don't think that I've ever seen a day where Uncle Bobby said, "God just didn't have my back today." I don't think I've ever seen a moment where Aunt Betty just said, "I'm just not feeling it, not going to give God praise today." Okay, and if y'all know both of them, y'all know that that ain't ever going to be the case. And again, just using y'all as an example. But all of us hopefully have examples in our life that we have people that say, you know, that they rejoice because it's an encouragement. At the end of the day, they're encouragers to everybody else that walks through the faith. And we need that. We need people that we can look up to, not because they are Christ or they're going to replace Christ, but they're encouragements to us, because at the end of the day we know that they're following Christ and Christ is real. Amen. Sometimes I think people question that, whether Christ is real, and then they're looking for something. Like, there are probably people that you come in contact with every single day that are looking around like, is this Jesus guy real? Is this the real deal thing? And you walk around and you say, you can walk into Walmart and lose faith in humanity. But then you meet somebody and it's like, there's something different. There's something different about that person. And they bring this joy that we don't understand. They bring this peace that we don't understand. They love people. How can they love people? Some people are hard to love. Verse 6 says this, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I think there are three things everybody in this world is looking for. 1 John 4:8 says God's love. So I think everybody on this earth is looking for love, because that's who we were created by. We were created by love, so everybody's going to return back and look for love. I think trust is another thing everybody's looking for. If you look at a foundation of a relationship, it has to be built on trust. If you don't have trust, you have nothing. And then the third thing, I think if you can ask everybody, especially people, I think, that have lived life a little bit, what's the one thing that you want most? I think people would say peace. That way you can lay your head down on your pillow at night and you can rest. You can truly rest. You can know. I can't imagine, again, we don't have kids yet. I can't imagine having kids, and especially, you know, just out and about in the world and stuff like that. Sometimes, again, all you are is anxious, because, you know, I mean, you might be anxious about decisions they're going to make, what decisions are going to be made towards them. You know, I teach an age where people, you know, they're starting to drive and stuff like that. It's like giving them behind the wheel and letting them go for the first time. It's a lot of anxiousness, a lot of anxiety that comes with that. But you got to know, you just got to have a peace about yourself. You got to know that God's got them no matter what. No matter what. And reading that book, I don't really ever open up about this, I don't think, but like there's different times that I have anxiety and I struggle with that. I probably most of us do. I think at the end of the day, some of us have different tics about ourselves or something like that, or You know, different situations may bring out different things. You know, like some people, when it's an uncomfortable situation, will just kind of like nervous laugh. You ever met the people that will just kind of nervous laugh? Well, we've got a girl that plays basketball for our girls program that she fouls, she'll just start laughing. And it's not because she don't care. It's just because that's like a little nervous tick that she has. But anyway, I felt like, you know, in the moments that I struggled with anxiety when I was reading this book, he said, speak the scripture. He talked about all these major business leaders. And he said, a lot of these business leaders will have Philippians 4:13, and they'll have it on a piece of paper, and they'll have it folded up in their wallet whenever they're feeling like that they maybe need to close the deal. They don't have the confidence to close the deal, or whether they're just in a bad situation, or whether they're feeling down, whatever. And they'll pull that scripture out, and they'll read it. Sometimes 5 times, sometimes 10 times. And again, all of us know the scripture, but I'll read it real quick. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I've used that. The moments that I felt the anxiety, I've stopped myself. And again, sometimes you may sit there and see my hand, like I'll be sitting there, I'm counting, because I'm giving it over to God. When I feel the anxiety, I'm just telling, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I speak the word of God over my life. And I think you need to do that. Yeah, I'm kind of aggravated at myself that it's taken me to 33 to kind of start doing those things, of where I, again, like really and truly, like in the moment, not prayer time, but in the moment of saying, God's got this. God's got this. Remove myself a little bit. Quit feeling like I'm so important, and remove myself and allow God to be important. Yeah.
Amen.
That's good. And we got one of my mentors. I got to coach with him for a couple of years up at Madison County, and a very godly man. He sends us something every day. Sometimes it's scripture, sometimes it's a quote. And he sent us a quote this morning I felt like was relevant to what we're talking about. One day or day one, you decide. I'm going to repeat that real quick, but one day or day one, you decide. So are you going to say, one day I'll change my mindset, one day I'll give this situation over to God, one day I'll be comfortable with talking to people about Jesus, or are you going to make this day one of that journey and say, today, my mindset changes. Today, I'm giving that situation over to God. You get to decide that. There's all kinds of quotes about I can control different things in my life. There's a lot of things I can't control. Effort, attitude are two of the things I can always control. Your mindset, you can control that. It's going to take you being submissive to God. Now, I know there are people in our lives, man, they drive you crazy. Sometimes you call them husband, sometimes you call them wife, right? So, I mean, that y'all are going to drive each other nuts. I mean, it's just part of it. But, again, I was driving yesterday. I was telling God, I was like, I got to do better. I just got to do better, you know, with where I'm at sometimes. So do your absolute best to learn from Psalm 10 to Psalm 9 to Psalm 1. And I think Psalm 1, again, gives you the opportunity to see where you should be in your maturity and your walk with Christ, to understand that things may go on in this world that are not advantageous for me, or things that I want to be taking place, but I had the understanding that God's there and God's got my back and that nothing matters. And I'll tell you this about your kids too, is everybody is going to be looking to teach them something. This world will teach them if you don't. Yeah, this world's going to teach them if you don't. So you might as well be investing in them as much as possible and telling them about the word of God, because again, the world's going to tell them their version of the truth, and where you have the truth, share that with them and be that light. And I'll pray for us, and then we can close out service. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today, God, and thank you for the opportunity to come up here and share your word. Lord, I pray, God, that this morning this word would not come back void. Father, I pray that this word would rest on our minds, rest in our hearts, Lord, not because of anything I said, but because of what you say, Father, and in your word. And God, that we would understand that there are things that go on in this world that maybe we don't understand. There are things that go on in this world that we don't control. But Father, we do control if we trust you or not. We do control our faith in you, God, and we do control just being a willing vessel in this world. And Father, I pray that we would all be willing vessels in this world to spread your word, to spread your love, to spread your kindness. Lord, I thank you for each individual in here. Lord, I know that sickness has been a big part of all of our surrounding communities, and I just pray healing over each of these individuals that are struggling at this time. Father, be with those that are in here this morning that may have things that they're holding on to that they don't really want to open up and they don't really want to share with anybody else, God, that may be holding them back. in their relationship with you, Father. I pray that, God, that through prayer time and through reading your word, God, the conversations that are had, Lord, that they just begin to understand that you're there with them no matter what, no matter the circumstance, you're right there with them. And God, I pray, Father, that one day it'll be a testimony. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
As we dismiss, I'm not going to add to nothing he said because I think we heard some things we needed to hear today. I know that, and I just want to emphasize it because Peter writes in 1 Peter in chapter 4 and chapter 5, he says, be sober-minded in chapter 4, verse 7. He says, be sober-minded in chapter 5, verse 8. And when he says it in chapter 4, he says, be sober-minded because the end of everything is here. It's the end time. It's the end. In chapter 5, verse 8, he says, be sober-minded because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion. And he's wanting to consume and attack. And Preston being sent here today to speak into us about our mindset is the same thing that the Lord is trying to emphasize in the church in these last days, you know. And I like the way Peter says it. He says, be sober-minded. You know, negative thinking is intoxicating. Just like drinking your alcohol, it'll take you over. It'll influence the way you act, the way you behave, the way you walk, the way you talk. Negative thinking is just as intoxicating as alcohol. Be sober-minded. He ain't just talking about don't drink. Be sober-minded. There's some things that you can't let get here because it is intoxicating. Right? And I thank you for that. I thank you for that. But we need to hear that with all that's going on. That I can tell, I know this to be true, and I've been there as well. There's people in the body of Christ that if you watch the way they walk and listen to how they talk, we know that there's some intoxication from the negative thinking around. You know what I mean? The negativity. Let me share with you one illustration. I didn't come up with it, okay? It's just a good one. When I hold this up and look at it, it is, from where I'm at, this is bigger than Preston right now. He's standing in the back. Now, what's true and what's real is there'll never be a day this thing right here, this little thing of oil, is bigger than Preston. Do you see what I'm saying? But from where I'm at, it's taller than Preston. It's bigger around than Preston. It is bigger than Preston. And, you know, the times we let the problems in this world be bigger than God, it's because you're sitting closer to your problem than you are your God. Whatever you're closest to will be, that's how perspective works. Whatever's closest to you will be the biggest thing you see. And so one of the best ways to transition your thinking, sit close to God. Be close to Him. Thank you so much. Thank you, Preston, for coming. I mean that with all my heart. Thank you. And my mindset is this, which, you know, it's my first Sunday back, but, you know, I'm going to call every service we have, I'm going to call them revival. I'm expecting the Lord to move and speak and from beginning today. And there's a lot of people that's not here, but I'm going to tell them to come Sunday. It's revival. That's what I'm going to tell them. That's what I'm going to tell them. Come to Sunday school, starting then, it's revival. And so let's just be excited about the Lord and what He's doing. Let Preston know how much you appreciate Him. I love you. I'm glad to be here today. I love you. You're dismissed.